you don't know where the book of Malachi is, go to the New Testament and turn left. The last minor prophet in the Bible. Not minor in the way that he wasn't well-liked or he didn't contribute a lot. It's only a minor prophet because the book was short. It's the only reason why they call them minor prophets. So turn with me to Malachi in chapter 4, the last chapter of the book, and we'll start there. For behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, and all the proud, yes, all who do wickedly will be stubble. And the day which is coming shall burn them up, says the Lord of hosts. That will leave them neither root nor branch. But to you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings. And you shall go out and grow fat like stall-fed calves. You shall trample the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet. On that day that I do this, says the Lord of hosts, remember the laws of Moses, my servant, which I commanded him in Horeb for all Israel, with the statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse. Now I want you to close your Bibles. Just close them. Don't mark them. Don't mark your place at all. Just close your Bibles. If you're on a cell phone or a tablet, turn that over so you can't see the tablet. So there's no sight of God's word in front of you. Now close your eyes. I want you to close your eyes and get the story that we've just read, what Malachi has just read. Now close your eyes and imagine you're sitting in complete darkness. And if my assistant does this, we'll be in complete darkness almost in just a second. All that goes out. We're going to be in complete darkness almost. The light has been taken away from you. From me and from all of us at the same time, the light is gone. After God spoke these words through the prophet Malachi, darkness fell on the world in the form of God's silence. Remember, keep your eyes closed. For 400 years, God did not speak to his people. Think about that, 400 years. To put these years into perspective, this coming year, on November 11th, 2020, will mark the 400th year of the Pilgrims landing at Plymouth Rock. That's how far back 400 years goes in our history. 400 years. I don't know about you, but I have a hard time relating and identifying with these folks that long ago. Now, keeping your eyes closed, now think about your relationship with God. Would you even have a relationship with him if he hasn't spoken to anyone in 400 years? Let's say maybe 6 or 8 generations in Israel have passed. Not one new word from God. Nothing. Left to our own flesh, our lives would be a real mess. It's scary to think where we would be. It's scary to think what was going to happen. Now open your eyes. The light is about to dawn. We are going to be in that light. The light is about to dawn. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you. We thank you for the light that you brought into this world. We thank you for the birth of your Son, our Savior. To do for us what we could not do for ourselves. To take a dying world and redeem it back to you. As we are lost without you. So, Father, bless this time that we have this evening as we share with each other the love that we have for you, for what you have done for us. The dawn is breaking. The light is coming. In Jesus' name, amen. So turn with me to Luke. Turn with me to Luke. After 400 years of silence. Now, I'm going to mention several times that there was 400 years of silence. No word was given from God. But to be accurate, no new word was given to the people. No new word. There was plenty of God's word that the people had, but no new word. But some, as we will see, remembered that word. Others drifted away from the word. So turn to Luke chapter 1. In these passages, this evening, we're going to see signs of pure faith. We're going to see doubting. We're going to see consequences for that doubting. We're going to see restoration. And we're going to see some great, great blessings. So let's set the scene here, starting in verse 5 of chapter 1. It says, "There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias, of the division of Abiha. His wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments, ordinances of the Lord, blameless. But they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well advanced in years. So it was that while he was serving as priest before God in the order of his division, according to the custom of the priesthood, his lot fell to burn the incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people was praying outside at the hour of incense. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, 'Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you shall have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will also go before him in the spirit of and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord.' And Zacharias said to the angel, 'How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well advanced in years.' And the angel answered and said to him, 'I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings. But behold, you will be mute and not be able to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time.' And the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he lingered so long in the temple. But when he came out, he could not speak to them, and they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned to them and remained speechless. So it was, as soon as the days of his service were completed, that he departed to his own house. Now, after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and she hid herself 5 months, saying, 'Thus the Lord has dealt with me in the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach among people.'" There's a lot packed into that, in those verses, a lot packed into there. So we're just going to go over a few things as we go through this message. They were both righteous before God. They were following those commandments and ordinances that God had laid out to Moses. God had laid out to Aaron. God laid out to Abraham. They were following those ordinances. They were faithful to what God was doing. In God's history, God always leaves a remnant. Those, in spite of of all of man's wickedness and corruption, he leaves those who faithfully carry out his plan. We will see this in every one of the people that we're going to be talking about tonight. And the first two are Elizabeth and Zacharias, her husband. That they were faithful. They were carrying out God's plan, even though they saw the world around them crumbling. Even though he saw the evilness, even in the temple. Because we know that when Jesus was born there and through his ministry, the priests wouldn't go to them for advice, for spiritual advice. They had fallen. They had corrupted themselves. But Zacharias was one, as of several, as of many, that they kept that faith with God. They were that remnant that God is able to use to carry on, to continue his plan. Think about it. 400 years without hearing from God. 400 years. They are probably within that sixth or eighth generation without a new word from God. Six or eight generations have passed in that 400 years. The lifespan in Israel was probably under 50 at that time. So being generous, it was eight generations. But they're still faithful to God despite what all that was going around them. They were seeing the evilness, yet they were faithful to God. We see the evilness around here. We see the evilness in this world. Are we faithful to follow after God's word and what God is telling us? Even though he speaks to us, we are so privileged and so honored to be able to communicate with God. Another part of this section, it says the whole multitude of the people. Well, those are the remnants as well. It doesn't say the entire Israel was standing outside of that temple, but there was a whole multitude out there. There was those faithful ones. Even though for 400 years, they hadn't heard anything from God. There were darkness all around them, yet they were faithful. It also said we know that they were faithful because they knew how long it took to burn incense. And they're saying, hey, Zacharias is taking a long time here. So in other words, there was some education there. It was like a true football fan or a baseball fan when something's going on and the call wasn't correct, they'll let you know about it because they understand the game. Well, these people understood the game and they understood what was going on in the temple. So they were a remnant as well. They were part of that. Trouble and fear fell upon Zacharias when he saw this image standing next to the altar. I would be troubled and feared as well, and I know you would be. But the first thing that God told his people, the first new words that God spoke to his people after 400 years was what? Do not be afraid. He's here to bless us. He is here to comfort us. He is here to save us, to bring us back. So we'll see many times in this section of Scripture, the angel is going to say, do not be afraid. Our natural flesh is going to be fearful. But he's trying to comfort us and understand us. And then we'll see, how shall I know this? How shall I know this? What Zacharias was doing, instead of just putting his faith in what Gabriel was saying, he was placing earthly restrictions on this heavenly promise. He says, I'm an old man. My wife is old. This is not possible. But Gabriel said, it is going to be possible because for all things, there's nothing impossible for God to do. But because of your doubting, you're going to be mute until this time has been fulfilled. So there was doubting. There's consequences for that doubting. But in a minute, we'll see restoration. Now let's go to verse 26 through 38. He says, now in the sixth month, an angel Gabriel again, was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and having come in, the angel said to her, rejoice, highly favored one, and the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. But when she saw him, she was troubled by his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Then Mary said to the angel, how can this be, since I do not know a man? And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God, nothing is impossible. Then Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. So in here in this section, we can identify with one major thing that when the Virgin Mary, she was Mary, and having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." We can identify with a lot of that because we rejoice because we know God is with us. We rejoice because we know we are favored among the people of God's creation because he has revealed himself to us. And the Lord is with us. So we can rejoice in that. Also, we see the modesty of Mary here. But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. She was very modest. She was probably 14, 15, maybe 16 years old. She was just a young girl. Yet she was faithful, and we'll see in a minute, she understood the scriptures. She understood the commands of God. She was part of that remnant we're talking about. She was being used by God because of her faithfulness in a world that was dark. So easily our teenage children turn away from God because they see the power of peer pressure. They see the power of their friends. They don't want to be different. Yet God gave us strength to get through those times. Sometimes, best on the person really, or the young person, but I cringe when they come up to me and say, "I'm going to go to college, I'm graduating this year, and I'm going to go away to college." And sometimes I pray for them, very fearful because of what the world can do. And then there's those that go to college and just grow and mature and become strong in their faith. There's three of them sitting right back there, very proud of. They're like my own kids, and very, very proud of them. But she was faithful, young girl being faithful to the Lord, even though the world around her was falling apart. But she says, "How can this be?" In other words, she wasn't doubting. She was just really asking a question. She was stating a fact. "I haven't been with a man. Please explain how this will happen." So Gabriel went through the explanation. And then the final response that Mary had, "Let it be according to your word." In other words, Mary is saying, "God said it. I believe it. Case closed." And that's where we need to be. If God says it to you, and you know in your heart it is God that is saying it, case closed. I will do it. He is our Lord. There is no in our vocabulary when it comes to the Lord. There's no in Lord. We will do what he calls us to do. Now turn with me. You can mark this place or come back to Luke, but we need to go to Matthew chapter 1. We need to go back to Matthew chapter 1 to talk about our fourth character in our text this evening, and that person is Joseph. Sometimes I feel Joseph hasn't received the credit over the years that he should have. We don't really know much about Joseph. We know he was a carpenter. We know he lived in Nazareth. We know that he was the earthly father of Jesus. But the scripture leaves shortly after. He leaves shortly after this happened, so there's not much left to know about him. We know that he and Mary bore other children. We know that. But not much else is written in Scripture about Joseph. But we see here again in Joseph that remnant God always leaves behind, that faithfulness that Joseph showed. So starting in verse 18 of chapter 1 in Matthew, it reads, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph." Oh, let me talk a little bit about betrothal and engagements and marriage. That's society, a little bit different than we do. There's an engagement time. And that's usually when the two fathers of the boy and the girl come together and make an agreement. It's the family makes these agreements. And then there's this betrothal, which is a mutual promise between the two. And then usually about a year later, there is the consummation or the marriage they enter into marriage. So there's this betrothal time. And through this, the Holy Spirit, as he's writing this through these men that wrote it, pinned it to paper, is constantly going to remind us that she was just betrothed. She had not been with a man. She was not married per se. And so we'll move a little bit further. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. The penalty of being with child or being pregnant at that time without being married was death. She would have been stoned. She would have been stoned to death. And Joseph could have said, I had nothing to do with this. He could have just turned her in and said, I'm not going to deal with this. But we see here Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not wanting to make her a public example, was reminded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid. There it is again. Do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all of this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet Isaiah, actually saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. So we see this poor guy Joseph, is caught up really in this greatest story ever told. He was this guy on the outside. He was the one that was picked by God to be betrothed or to be engaged with and betrothed to Mary. He had no idea what was going on. You can just see him with his head on a swivel. He is saying, turning one way and then turning another, saying, what the heck is going on here? What is going on here in all of this? Yet with great faith and great love and great courage, and without questioning, if you notice, Joseph never questioned anything. He just was obedient to God's word. Never questioned. The other ones questioned. We know Elizabeth, through scripture and through tradition, knowing that when Zacharias came home, he told by writing down Elizabeth what all had happened and what was going to happen and what was needed. So Elizabeth knew what was going on. Yet there was this question. She kept it to herself. But Joseph here never said a word. Never said a word. He was without questioning. His obedience to God's word was just preeminent in his life. Now tell me, guys that are here, how many of you would have been so obedient to see your betrothed pregnant? You know you weren't with her. What was going on? Yet God said, hey, don't be afraid, Joseph. Don't be afraid. We have it under control. So we see all four of these faithful believers, followers of God, despite the wickedness of the world around them, showing faithfulness to God as they, by faith, follow what he is asking them to do. So let's turn back to Luke. We're going to stay in Luke now. Let's go back to Luke chapter 1, because we've got to close some loops here. So back to Luke chapter 1, and we'll get this story tied up. Starting in verse 39, we're going to close the loop with Elizabeth and Mary. We kind of left them hanging. Now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to the city of Judah, entering the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. So she found out from Gabriel that her cousin Elizabeth was pregnant. So she wanted to go visit her because Mary knew that Elizabeth was barren. Everybody knew that Elizabeth had no children and she was an old lady, an older lady. I was told to say older, not old, an older lady. So Mary arose and went to the hill country with haste to see to the city of Judah, entered into the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. She was happy. She was excited to know Elizabeth was pregnant. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leaped in her womb and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Does that remind you of what Gabriel was saying? Gabriel was predicting this. Gabriel was prophesizing this, and it's come to be. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. So then with that filling of the Holy Spirit, then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women," speaking of Mary, "and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord." Blessed is she who believed. Blessed is us who believed. Do you understand that our faith plays an active role in receiving what God has for you? Your faith plays an active role. We need to, by faith, step out. God wants to bless you. God wants to fulfill his plan in you. But by faith, the Lord is saying here, blessed is she who believed. She believed in what God was saying to her. And so by faith, she stepped out. She said, "God said it. It's done. That's it. Whatever God has said, I'm going to do." Mary responds, and they call this the Song of Mary. I wasn't going to go through this, but I thought it was important to understand a little bit more about Mary from what we see on a day-to-day basis sometimes with Mary. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. For he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is with those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to their fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever." And Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her house. Notice what Mary is saying. There was very little about herself. This is all about what God has done through her and for the world. It is all about him and not about us. We see so many times as we see, especially in the Catholic Church, where they venerate Mary. They put her almost as co-equal to Jesus. That's not Mary's heart. That never was Mary's heart. Mary was humble. She was honored to be used by God. And we need to call her blessed. We need to consider her blessed because God chose her. But chose her for a vehicle, not for any other reason other than that vehicle to bring our Savior into the world. So again, the babe jumps in Elizabeth's womb. We can see the Holy Spirit going through this. And the Song of Mary, it's all about Jesus. Never, very, very little about her. I mentioned in the beginning that we would see doubting and we'd see consequences. But so far, we haven't seen that restoration. So let's close the loop on that as we turn to Luke chapter 1, starting in verse 59. We're going to close that loop there. Well, let's start in verse 57 to open up the story. In verse 57 of chapter 1 of Luke. "Now Elizabeth's full time came for her to be delivered, and she brought forth a son. When his neighbors and relatives heard how the Lord had shown great mercy to her, they rejoiced with her. So it was on the eighth day that they came to circumcise the child, and they would have called him by the name of his father Zacharias. His mother answered and said, 'No, he shall be called John.'" Goes back to that very first time that Gabriel talked to Zacharias. In that culture, the firstborn son was always named after the father. Always. So they took it for granted that that's what was going to happen here. But Elizabeth, knowing the story that Zacharias had told her at the time, she is faithful and says, no, his name shall be called John. But the group didn't quite get that one yet. Now we're going to, if mother doesn't tell us the answer we want, we're going to go to dad. So that's what they're doing here. But they said to her, there is no one among your relatives who is called by this name. So they made signs to his father what he would have him called. So they went to Zacharias. Zacharias still could not speak because he was doubting what Gabriel said. Verse 63, and he asked for a writing tablet and wrote saying, his name is John. His name is John. So they all marveled. Immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue loosed and he spoke praising God. Then fear came on all who dwelt around them, and all these things were discussed throughout all the hill country of Judea. And all those who heard them kept them in their hearts, saying, what kind of child will this be? And the hand of the Lord was with him. Zacharias at first doubted. Zacharias says, this can't be. Gabriel says, since you doubted me, you're going to be mute until the time of the birth of this child. But as faith has it, when Zacharias kept that faith, he could have been bitter about this entire 9 months. But instead, he kept that faith. He did what God told him to do. I'm going to name this boy John. And Zacharias was restored with his voice. God restored him back to where he was before. God restored him. Now, in closing, let's finish with the joyful message that brought us all here tonight. We're going to have this joyful message that brought us. We're going to be in chapter 2, starting in verse 4. In chapter 2 of Luke, let's start in verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place when Quirinius was governor of Syria, so all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, what? Do not be afraid. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which is to be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel and multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And so it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. We are here this evening to celebrate that light. We started this evening with 400 years of darkness. We sat in the dark with our eyes closed, trying to imagine what it would be like without having God in our lives. Because so many had turned their back on God. So many of those, even though the word was there, even though God's commandments and ordinances were still there, they chose to turn their back on God. They were in darkness. Now the darkness is fading and the light is dawning. The darkness is now fading in their hearts. Our Savior is born. The Son, S-U-N of righteousness, has brought the S-O-N into our life. As it said in Malachi, it was the Son of righteousness, S-U-N. Did you notice that? It wasn't S-O-N. The Son of righteousness, the light that the Son, S-O-N, brings to us. The Son of righteousness has come into the world. Now the question before us now is, what are you going to do with this present God has so freely given to us? What are you going to do with it? Are you going to leave it unopened? Are you going to leave it under the tree, so to speak? Just sitting there, just unwrapped, unaccepted? Or are you going to open God's gift, the gift of His Son that He's so freely given to you? He's freely given it to you and to me and to all of us. And you're going to ask Him to enter into your heart. Ask Him to enter into your heart, to reign and rule your life forever. Let Him be your light. Let Him be that light, that Son of righteousness in this dark world that we're still in. And then let Him lead you so you can bring that light to others. Let's pray. Father, we just thank You. We thank You for the story of the birth of Your Son. We thank You for giving us this word, to showing us that even in the darkness of times, You are still with us. Even though the dark is around us, You are still here. You are still ministering to us. And we are so grateful and so blessed to be ministered by You, that we see these four creations of Yours being so faithful to You in a world that hadn't seen a new word from You in 400 years yet. It wasn't by accident. They just didn't turn that 1 second and all of a sudden started following You. They followed You their entire lives. Whether that life was only 15, 16 years old, or that life was in their 50s or 60s as Zacharias and Elizabeth. They followed You. They were faithful. May we be as faithful to follow You now, whether we're in our teens, whether we're in our 20s, or whether we're in our 80s or 90s. Father, may we follow after You. May You continue to bless us. May You continue to minister to us. May You continue to reveal Yourself more fully to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.